You have your Bible this morning. We're turning to Matthew chapter 14. Again, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin to read together, please, at verse 13 of the chapter. Matthew 14 and verse 13, please. Verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of their cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. We'll end there at verse 21. And we know that God will bless his word to our hearts again this morning. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only one that's recorded for us in all the 4 Gospels. All of the Lord's miracles were illustrations of his power, of his grace, of his mercy. He performed miracles in the natural realm to show us what he was willing and able to do in the spiritual realm. And of course, this great miracle that we read of today is a parable or picture, isn't it, of spiritual truth. Here we see a great crowd of people in great physical need. They had seen him perform many miracles. The sad thing was that many of them only wanted to see the miracles that he could perform. Maybe they wanted to be involved in the miracles that he performed. They failed to see that he was the Savior of sinners and the Son of God. Matthew reminds us here that there was not only 5,000 men who were there present that day, but there were women and children also. They estimate something around 15,000 people that were crowded around listening to the Lord Jesus. Many of these folk had walked 9 miles around the tip of the Sea of Galilee to meet with the Lord Jesus and his disciples whenever they came ashore. And Jesus met the need of the multitude with the cooperation of the disciples, as we read together here. You know, as we look at the world around us today, we see people in great physical need, don't we? But we also see people in great spiritual need, most importantly. Multitudes of men and women, multitudes of young people and children in desperate spiritual need. Someone once said, when the law of God is broken, the authority of God is questioned. Isn't that true? When the law of God is broken, the authority of God is questioned. Sadly, people around us today are so blind to the Savior of sinners. They want God when things are tough. They want God whenever there's a pandemic. They want God when things are difficult. They want God for physical relief. They want God for financial relief, but not for soul relief. At the beginning of the pandemic last year, people got afraid, didn't they? Many people, because of fear, decided to tune into churches that were online. Many people started to go to church if they could, maybe drive-in churches or other kind of church services that they could go to, because they were in fear of the pandemic and what was happening around them. But sadly, so many have forgotten, haven't they? As we've got used to the pandemic, so many have forgotten. Only the Lord can meet the needs of people. Only the Lord can change the lives of men and women and young people and boys and girls around us. But he wants us as believers today to be part of this, to cooperate with him. And in this account in Matthew, there's just a few simple points very quickly that I want to leave with you this morning. We see, first of all, the crowd that he saw. We read in Matthew 14 about the size of the crowd, that it was a great multitude. As I said already, about 15,000 people that day. It was a huge crowd of people. We also see the condition of the crowd. It was evening time. The people were tired, they were weary, they'd walked a long way in the heat of the day. They were in a desert place and they were hungry. The word perishing here describes the condition of the people. What does the word perishing mean? It means not to serve the purpose for which it was created. Maybe you've heard me tell the illustration before. I use it quite a bit. Whenever a baker goes into the bakery and he gets all his ingredients together and he mixes them and he puts it in the oven and he bakes it and he brings it out and he cools it and he slices it and he packs it and he gets it to the shop, you go into the shop, and if you're like me, you go to the back of the shelf to make sure you get a fresher loaf, isn't that right? And you get that and you bring it home with you and you put it in your bread bin or your cupboard and you leave it for 6 months. Is that right? You don't do that because there'd be a queer beard on it, wouldn't there? You bring it home and you open it up and you enjoy it, especially if it's a nutty crust loaf, isn't that right? You enjoy it. The catechism that many of us learned whenever we were children says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God purposed not to have a people that would perish, but a people that be made manifest by their believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does John 3:16 remind us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here is a picture for us this morning of a people, men and women, needing the bread of life. A picture of humanity without God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So many people today are spiritually hungry. So many people are looking for something to satisfy their souls. They try everything and anything to get satisfaction, but it fails. The hymn writer says, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Maybe you're here this morning and you're trying other things to satisfy. Maybe you've never come to trust in Christ as your Savior this morning. And you've tried things, but they don't satisfy. You go out to talk to young folk, people in the streets, and they'll tell you, really the drink doesn't satisfy. So often as you talk to the drug addict, so often they'll tell you that the drugs don't satisfy. The gambling doesn't satisfy. And so on and so on and so on. Only Christ can give that real satisfaction this morning. He's the only one who can give that lasting satisfaction. He's the only way. He is all we need. And he's all that the people outside that door today need. Christ. The crowd he saw, I wonder what do we see today? We can be so content in our churches, can't we, to be honest. So content with coming to our churches ourselves. So content on feeding on the bread of life for ourselves. When there's a world out there that are hungry. Do we see the multitudes of people? Do we see the millions of people around us who need Christ today? As we look at the towns that we come from or the areas that we come from. Even just the housing developments we come from. Do we see the need? Richard Haldane once said, no man or woman can be a true believer if they're unconcerned for the salvation of others. That challenges my heart today. When we as believers catch the vision, when we go into a world in need, then I believe that God will work. As we work with him, that God will work in the lives of others. This past week, and this is what really challenged me to preach this today, I was going to preach something else. This past week we have been doing outreach because we can't go abroad this year. We felt we should do something at home. And so we had a team with us, 10 young folk with us, that came to Drummond S, which is just outside Ballinahinch. And we had great opportunities on the doors sharing the gospel with people. Wonderful opportunity. We used the little Gideon magazine. It's called Hope. I don't know whether you've seen it or not before. It's Good News for You, I think Gideons are called now, or Good News for All. And we were able to take those magazines. We had 1,300 of them. And we were able to take them to Drummond S the other day. And then in where we live, in the spa outside Ballinahinch, we were able to go around there and the housing developments there and put them in every home. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we went to Warren Point. Now, I'm sure many of you have been to Warren Point, to Genoa's, whatever you call it. They have probably been to the ice cream shop there, isn't that right? Because I know that Nigel loves ice cream. And, we were able to go to Warren Point. I never believed there was as many houses in Warren Point. I have a friend who's a minister there. And from his church, we decided to go around the houses around his church. He had a drive-in church last Sunday. He said he couldn't believe how many people were hanging over the wall listening. How many folk were sitting out in their houses listening to the gospel. And of course, it's predominantly Roman Catholic area. We went around the doors, knocking on doors, talking to folk, talking to them in their gardens. It was absolutely roasting, as you can imagine. Great opportunities. One lady said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "I have come from Wexford to live here." Wexford or Waterford, I can't remember, to live here. She said, "I got saved last year. My sister down there has got saved, but I didn't know where to go to here." That was one lady. She promised to come to church this week. Then we're walking around another estate and doing another estate, and a lady came to me and she said, "Why have you never come here before?" That nearly broke my heart. Why has nobody ever come and brought us this message before? She said, "The Jehovah Witnesses have been here. But nobody has told us we need to be saved." That's a woman, I would say, in her 60s in one point in an estate. Does that challenge our hearts this morning as we think of Monkstown on our doorstep? As we think of where we live, does that challenge our hearts this morning? It certainly challenged mine the other day. I can't get that woman's voice out of my head saying, "Why did you never come before?" And she said, "How many of these magazines are there?" I said, "Well, this is one of them anyway." And I said, "I'm not sure how many they've done before." She says, "Well, when does the next one come out?" I said, "I'm not sure, maybe 6 months' time." She said, "Well, I'll look forward to seeing you in 6 months for the next one." So I'm going to have to go back to her with the next one. Challenge in our hearts. I remember a couple many years ago when I was missioning with Faith Mission, who live in Cape Castle, just outside Ballycastle. We were doing the doors in the mission we were conducting, and we went to this door, and this woman opened the door. She says, "We're Jehovah Witnesses." I said, "Oh, right, very good." She said, "They're wrong, aren't they?" What an opening. We went into her home. And that woman and her husband came to our mission, and both came to the Lord. You know, you don't know what's behind a door. You don't know what's behind a door of your neighbor and the needs that they have and the burdens they have and the concerns that they have and the heartaches. I was actually speaking to someone last night. I was speaking at a meeting last night, and I was sharing with someone afterwards, and they were telling me that they had heard the story of two men who lived next door to each other. And every Sunday, this man went out with his Bible under his arm and into his nice car, and off he went to church, and the other man was washing his car or cutting his grass. And this went on for years and years. And one Sunday the man came out with his Bible under his arm, and he looked at the other man and he said to him, "Tell me this, would you never think of going to church?" And the man looked at him and said, "Would you never think of asking me?" Isn't that true? How many folk have we invited to church? I know it's different in pandemic days. It's difficult, isn't it? But God has really been challenging my heart about this. Someone once said, in a day when the sects such as Jehovah's Witnesses are thriving because their workers, false witnesses, dare to take the message directly to your doorstep, the Church of Christ needs desperately to regain urgency, compulsion, vision, and to go. Or we fight a losing battle for the hearts and minds of people. Do we see the crowds today? I could go over the statistics of Brazil, of Ireland, of Portugal. with all of its need. Do we see the need? The crowd he saw, very quickly, time's away. We see the compassion that he felt. In verses 14 and 16, this is brought before us. The disciples here wanted to send the multitudes away, didn't they? Jesus said to them, they need not depart. The disciples felt powerless in the situation. Folks, whenever we look at the multitudes of people around us, we feel powerless, don't we? What can we do? Whenever we take the teams to Fatima every year in Portugal, and you look at the vast crowds of people, tens of thousands of people standing in a sanctuary before you, and you've seen pictures here with us before of that, you feel so helpless and so hopeless. But you know what? We're on the victory side. And we have a God who can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even begin to think. That's the God who we serve today. He is able to save. We can't, but he can. And we need to trust him. The Lord Jesus said they need not depart. The disciples felt powerless in the situation. And because of that powerlessness, they had no concern. Real concern. They thought that nothing could be done to resolve the problem. It was evening. It was a desolate place. The people were hungry. Where would they get food? And so often we make excuses, don't we? Someone said how guilty the church has been in its attitude to the spiritual condition of the lost. As I said, instead of looking to the Lord Jesus as they should have done and saw the miracles that he could do, then feeding a few people wouldn't have been a problem, would it? We were talking to someone recently, or maybe 2 years ago, about Fit for Life. Now, I don't know where you've done Fit for Life here in your church, but I know a number of churches have done Fit for Life, where the ladies come together and they have a walk and then they have a healthy supper. And I've been asked to go to speak at some of those. Imagine. So what would I know about being healthy? But we were sharing this with someone and telling them, you know, you should try that in your church. You know what they said? There's no fat people in our church. That's what they actually turned around and said to me. And I thought, where's your vision? There's people outside the church that need to be reached. Well, what breaks the heart of God more? A world that will not come or a church that will not go? Jesus was moved with compassion on these people. Compassion means a broken heart, doesn't it? It means to have one's inner being stirred. It's stronger than sympathy. It means to have your heart broken. Have you ever had your heart broken before? Really? The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. This word for compassion here that Jesus had is used 12 times in the New Testament, and 8 of those times is in reference to the Lord Jesus. So often we have sent perishing souls away empty and unsatisfied because we've been so preoccupied with other things. So often we're too busy and so preoccupied with other things, and as I said already, so content to feed on Christ ourselves that we've ignored the needs of millions of people around us. The person who lives next door, down the street. We've been like the disciples and we've said, send them away. But still today the Lord says, they need not depart. Oh, that God would create a greater vision in us. Oh, that God will create a greater compassion for the souls of the lost. Amy Carmichael, that well-known Belfast girl who did so much for God, wrote, oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Oh, for the pure power that prevails, that pours itself out for the lost. Victorious prayer in the conqueror's name. Oh, for a Pentecost. Folks, we need a move of God today in the world around us. The crowd he saw, the compassion that he had, we see the command that he gave. In verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, give them to eat. They needed the bread of life. This is why the church is here. This is why evangelism is here. These disciples needed to obey the command of the Lord. They had only limited resources, hadn't they? All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he said, give them to eat. God promises, as we reach out to a world that's lost, if we sow in tears, that we'll reap in joy. If we go forth with precious seed, we will doubtless come again with rejoicing. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. We could go on, and time is gone this morning. He gave them the command, give them to eat. We see the cooperation that Jesus needed. He performed the miracle. He supplied the food. But he needed the help of the disciples, didn't he? He could have done it himself, but he used the disciples to distribute out the food. It's the same as today. He wants us, doesn't he, to be involved in his work. We see that they surrendered their inadequate resources to the Lord. It was only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It wasn't some of the fish you see in the Amazon, or maybe you see whenever you go to the market in Manaus, these huge, big pirarucu fish that would feed a whole village. Just a little boy's lunch, that's all it was. Somebody said there were 2 miracles that day. One was that the boy hadn't had his lunch, and the other one was that Jesus had fed the multitudes. Jesus said, bring it to me. It was a willing gift, wasn't it? It was a wanted gift. That boy didn't hold back, he gave all that he had. If only we would place our inadequate resources in the hands of the Lord today, afresh, at his disposal, then he can take our little, can't he, and he can make it much. And he can multiply it for his glory. The history of the church is filled with men and women who have given the little that they have, and God has multiplied it. Maybe we all can't stand in the pulpit and preach. Maybe we all can't play music. Maybe we all can't do this, that, or the other. But God has got a work for all of us to do, isn't that right? How small that might be, God has got a work for all of us. A part for all of us to play in his kingdom. You know, I remember being asked one day to go and meet a lady in Belfast. Now, I did tell my wife about it. And I just love this wee lady. And she invited me to meet her for coffee because she wanted to talk to me about something. And she put a wee envelope across the table to me and she said, your missionaries need that more than I do. And she said, you'll understand when you read the wee letter when you go home. So when I got home in the office and I opened the letter and I began to read it, she said, this is my heating money for the year, the heating allowance that government gives. She said, your missionaries need it more than I do. And she went on to say a few other things. And you know, that really touched and challenged my heart. And I thought of the many people, and they might think it's not very much that they give, but God takes that small amount sometimes. And God uses it mightily in his work. And I wrote to all of our missionaries that day, sent them all an email, and I said, this is the sacrifice that people make for you to be on the field. I sat in my office and I just wept. People giving their little, but yet God can make it much. The disciples trusted the Lord to do his mighty work. They maybe didn't have a lot of faith, but they had enough to obey his command, didn't they? And they took the inadequate resources that they had and they put it in his hand. And we see that he took it and he blessed it. And he gave it back to the disciples. And the disciples were active in their service for the Lord. You know, the miracle didn't happen when Jesus prayed. The miracle happened whenever the disciples began to distribute it. Isn't that right? That's when the miracle happened. Just like the oil. Because whenever the oil was poured, it just kept coming, didn't it? The widow's oil. God isn't looking for ability today. God's looking for availability. And for all of us, no matter how young we are or how old we are, God wants us to put our lives in his hand. Our ambitions, our desires. And be active in his service as we serve him. They ate. They were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets that were left over. You know, it's only whenever we take what Christ has blessed and give it to others in his name that we can stand back and watch God work. We need to start with what we have. We need to give to God what we have. We need to obey his commands in our lives. We need to give Christ our lives because we will never lose out. we always end up far more blessed than when we started. God can take mere human instruments empowered by His Holy Spirit and use us in links, as links in the chain in bringing others to the Savior. Somebody said a hungry world is feeding on empty substitutes while we deprive them of the bread of life. Is there someone in our area today who we could speak to? Is there someone in our area today who we could invite to church? Invite to a drive-in church? Invite to a special meetings? There's many of them going on at the minute. There's many drive-on missions across our province as well at the minute. Is there someone across our world who we could pray for today? Maybe a struggling missionary who needs us to get behind them. D.L. Moody once said, "Give God your life because He can do far more with it than you can." Today we're Christ's disciples. We're required to put our faith to the test. We have been given the bread of life. Let us step out in faith. Let us give our inadequate resources, our time, our talents, our tithes. Let us give our inadequate resources into His hands. And as we take what Christ has blessed, let's stand back and watch God work. Let's be hands, His hands, extended to feed the multitudes around us with the bread of life. I have skimmed through this today. The crowd He saw, the compassion He felt, the command He gave, the cooperation that He needed. We need to surrender our inadequate resources to Him. We need to trust Him to do His mighty work. And we need to be active in our service for Him. May God help us to do that. And may we say much, may we see much for His glory accomplished in the days ahead. Amen.